Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking of the subject of scriptural family and marriage life. And this is a very important subject for our day. I think I've pointed this out many times to you, because in so many Christian homes, marriages seem to be failing. I trust this is not true for any of the homes of those of you who are listening. But I do pray that each of us will be willing to take suggestions from time to time from God's Word and maybe from some who have been through this experience before. We might take the suggestions, we might apply them to our homes and to our families. We might just see what God does with our homes and our families. Now, over this period of time, we've considered a number of different subjects. And today, I want to talk about the importance of the contributions of both the father and the mother in parent-child relationships. Both of us are important. My wife and I have realized this in raising children. In my own home, I've raised four children. And to make an impact on the lives of these children, both the father and the mother had to be present, they had to be active, they had to be taking their full responsibilities. There's a passage of Scripture I want to read, and I want to explain then this passage of Scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 11 and 12. Verses 7 and 11 and 12. Perhaps you could follow this with me in your Bibles. But we were gentle among you, even as a mother nurses her children. Let me read that again. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Let me put it even in those words. Even as a nurse cherishes her children. Now the picture here is that of a nursing mother. And this is the picture he's presenting, and I'll explain this in just a minute. Then in verses 11 and 12, but as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you like a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Now this passage is not actually dealing with parent-child relationships, but it's an example of what I want to say this morning. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is picturing for them the way he had conducted himself in his relationships with these Thessalonian people. And it's interesting that he uses the example of a mother and a father. First of all, the example of the mother, where she is tenderly holding this little child in her arms. She is talking to this child in a very tender, quiet way. She is very careful that the child isn't hurt in any way. This is a tiny baby she's holding. Then in verses 11 and 12, he's picturing the father and how he was like a father to them as well. So the Apostle Paul is saying that like a mother is tender and kind and loving with her children, so I was the same way with you. And like a father instructs his children and trains his children and even disciplines his children, so I was also like a father with you. So these verses are going to be the basis for what I want to say to you in this broadcast. First of all, let's think about the mother in the home. There are a number of characteristics of a mother, and I think all of these can be taken from the Scripture. First of all, in the verse that I read from verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see the love and the tenderness the mother has toward the child in daily life. More than we realize, this is exactly what children need. Sometimes, and I'm very sympathetic to this in families, sometimes we get very frustrated with our children. They don't always act the way they should. They don't pick up their toys. They don't always follow our instructions. They don't do their responsibilities in the homes. And sometimes we get very frustrated with our children. And love and tenderness sort of leaves. In other words, the child does not feel any love and tenderness from us in our parent-child relationship. And the mother especially is responsible to show this attitude toward her children. It does not mean that the father does not have love and tenderness, but they expect it from a loving, kind, tender mother. And then the second characteristic of the mother would be that she is deeply sympathetic to the needs of the child. She has a sympathetic heart to help the child when difficulties or disappointments or other problems come in the life of the child. And the child needs this. They need an understanding and a sympathetic mother. And I think the father should be this as well. But the mother is with the children, usually, more than the father. So when the child comes home from school, he's been badly treated, perhaps by schoolmates or even by teachers at times. I'm sorry, sometimes teachers aren't always very sensitive to the needs of the children. And when this child comes home, he has someone who puts loving arms around him or her and deeply sympathizes with the problems that that child is going through. And then the third thing is, the mother also has a sense of keen wisdom and understanding in dealing with the child. And it does take wisdom in dealing with our children. When you study the book of Proverbs, the first 8 chapters especially are emphasizing the word wisdom. And the father now is speaking to his son. And this, of course, could apply to a son or a daughter, either one. But the father is speaking to his son. And he's speaking with deep spiritual wisdom in understanding the child, understanding what the child is going through, understanding the needs and the problem of the child, understanding how he can best instruct and train the child, and even sometimes how he can discipline the child. And I want to emphasize this matter of wisdom, because sometimes we don't always act wisely in our relationships with our children. We don't always show the wisdom that God would expect of us. I believe by the Holy Spirit in the life of a born-again Christian, one who has truly been saved from his sins and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, in the life of this person, whether father or mother, God gives spiritual wisdom so that we really understand what we're talking about when we try to instruct the child, when we try to correct the child, when we try to meet the deepest needs in the life of the child. Through this sense of wisdom and understanding. And then also, the mother is an example of beauty and purity. And this is an example of the child of what godly womanhood is all about. And how desperately the children in this age need to have a mother like this, who's this example of beauty and purity. In other words, this is what a Christian mother can be. Now, I want to speak very respectfully of people who may not be Christians yet, who may not have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And when I say Christians, that's what I'm talking about. It's not what church you're a member of, but it's whether or not you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, as your only way to heaven. Some people are very religious. They have a church relationship. They have a relationship with other people. They have a relationship with certain regulations and ceremonies of the church, but they don't have Jesus in their hearts. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Now, I say all of these things to illustrate this point, however, that when we have the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to indwell our lives. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we have this wisdom in understanding how to raise our children, and in fact, wisdom for life itself. And then, of course, the godly mother will maintain her testimony before the child by the way she lives and conducts herself. We all are going to fail. We face this in the Christian life. We are not sinlessly perfect, as some people would seem to intimate we are when we become Christians. We're not sinlessly perfect. We still are going to fail. Before God, we have a righteous standing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. But in daily Christian living, we are going to fail. And so the child will sometimes see, even in a very godly mother or father, he will sometimes see failure in conduct or in life. But for the most part, the child is going to see a godly parent, one who is living the life that she or he should be living. So this mother now is maintaining her testimony before the child by the way she lives and conducts herself. And then, of course, she also demonstrates the godly qualities that a son would someday desire in his future wife. This sounds like a very strange way to state it, but this is true in the life, that many times a mother is so godly, she has such qualities, that the children admire and respect her. And a son, for instance, might say, "Someday I would like a wife like this." This to me would be the highest compliment that a son could pay to a mother, that someday I would like to marry someone like you. You have been such an example to me. You have been such a great influence on my life that someday I would like to marry someone like you. And then the seventh thing is, she also demonstrates personal commitment to the responsibilities of the home with a willing and joyous spirit, rather than with a spirit of resignation or resentment. Now this is the example, again, of Proverbs chapter 31, where this woman was apparently a joyous woman, but was absolutely dedicated to the responsibilities of the home. Some wives resent this. In other words, they resent being pinned down, they say, being tied down to the responsibilities of the home. But this is part of the work of a wife and a mother, that she has the responsibility for keeping the home and making the home what God wants it to be. And so by the way she does her work, by the way she cooks, by the way she cleans, all of these things are an example of a mother who's dedicated to the responsibilities of the home. And this home will not only be a testimony to her own children and to her husband, but to the outside world as well. Now let me say a few things about the father and his place in the home. First of all, if you were to study Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it teaches us that the father is the trainer of the children. In other words, he's the one that not only sets the standards for the home in agreement with his wife, of course, but he's also the one who trains the children in the life they are to live before God. First of all, the children come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Many children do this in a Christian home when they're very young. They may only be 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age when they personally trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. But then in their lives, they need to be discipled. This means they need to be built up in the Christian faith. They need to know how to follow the Lord Jesus, how to walk with Him, what kind of standards He will set for their lives, how they're to live in relationship with unsaved people, how they're to walk in their conduct at school and wherever they might be. And the Bible teaches in Deuteronomy chapters 4, 6, and 11, again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and in many other passages, the responsibility of the father in this training. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The mother who spends a great deal of time with the children also helps to train them. But the father is pictured as the one who really teaches them the Word of God and how the Word of God applies to their lives, not in deep theological terms, but in terms a child can easily understand. Then, of course, the father is also the one who uses authority in the home so that the child understands the bounds of the actions and the direction of the life of that child. The father is the one who sets the standards of authority, and he lets the child know in a loving, tender way, but in a very firm way, this is how far the child can go, and don't step outside those bounds, because these have been set by God Himself, and they are for the good of the child. And then the third thing is, and following up on the idea of authority, the father also gives the loving discipline that the child needs, setting clear penalties for wrong actions, wrong decisions, wrong directions of life. And discipline is very important. I will be speaking of discipline in later messages, but discipline is very important in the life of the child. The child cannot be permitted to be unrestrained in his actions or in his conduct. The child needs to know that when things have been done which offend God and offend, of course, the standards of the home, then that child must bear the consequences. Then, of course, the father also is the one who, in consultation with the mother, sets the biblical standards for the child and for the home itself. And the child needs to have standards to live by. He needs to have directions for his life. He needs to know what pleases God, what honors God, what are the standards of the home itself. And that if he breaks the standards, of course, he will bear the consequences. But the standards are important, biblical standards for the home. Then the father also provides security in the home for the entire family from any outside dangers. When a child comes home, he's coming from a hostile world, a world that does not sympathize with Christians many times, playmates who may be very mean and cruel to that child. When the child comes home, he needs to know that he has a safe atmosphere to come home to, that this home is absolutely safe for him in every way. So there's security there. And then, of course, the father also demonstrates godly qualities. We talked about this concerning the mother, and now it also applies to the father. He is a godly man, and in every phase of his life, he's demonstrating what godly qualities taught in the Word of God, and godly qualities which God is pleased with. And so he demonstrates these in the home. Well, I need to stop for now. But these are some of the contributions that the father and the mother make in the life of the child. And I trust, as you listen to this broadcast, that you yourselves will determine that you want to be biblical mothers and fathers, and you want to deeply contribute to the life of your child. And your child's character will be formed by the kind of parent you are, whether a father or a mother. May the Lord help you, each one, to be everything God wants you to be.